Welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program here on December 17th, 2014. Tonight, music from preeminent classical electronic keyboardist Don Slepian, famous for performing original improvised orchestral music that excites and inspires audiences. Hailed as one of the genre's major talents by Rolling Stone magazine, he is an award-winning artist with critically acclaimed performances in both Paris and New York City. Don Slepian is a true pioneer in electronic music. He has been presented in prestigious venues such as New York City Lincoln Center by WNYC's New Sounds, in the Centre Georges Pompidou, Paris by the French Ministry of Culture, in Thailand by the Karen Baptist Church, and the Waikiki Shell in Hawaii by the Honolulu Symphony Society. So tonight, for some interesting conversation and candy for your ears, is tonight's guest, Don Slepian. Don, are you there?
Yes. Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
Don, I've been looking forward to doing this show with you for quite some time, but let's start with what's happening now. There's a lot of buzz going on right now for one of your compositions from a while back. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Don?
Well, it's as I look at the Kala Rhythms and all you've done with Cycles, that whole work, it makes me wonder, because there's a piece of music that I composed in February of 1980, Sea of Bliss, and 34 years later, all of a sudden, it's starting to get some notice. Probably the longest delayed release I've ever seen.
I would like to preface one of the reasons why we're doing this show right now for our listeners and followers of the social trends, the cycles of time in our society. You're right, Don. Two of the three main cycles here in the United States are in what we call third quarter review. We're looking back. There's a time for looking forward, a time for looking back. And what's old is new again. We're in a retrospective, nostalgic period. And here your song, The Sea of Bliss, from 34 years ago, is getting recognized and put out there bigger than ever. It's kind of interesting.
It really started the genre of electronic space music, or computer music for new age music. It was really the first piece that was really quite like this. I had the fortune to be artist in residence at Bell Telephone Laboratories, and this piece I did with the digital synthesizer at Bell Laboratories at that time, which had parts of the instrument still haven't been replicated today. I was able to do this whole work, The Sea of Bliss, all the music you'll hear today, was done on a four-track, just like the Beatles did Sgt. Pepper's. Four tracks of tape, that's all there was to it. So it's really, as you said, what is old is new again.
Yes, and it's interesting that even when we listen to your compositions from a while ago, they still have a futuristic sound, which is interesting because we're becoming more of a world beat. We're becoming a little less nationalistic in our styles, our taste, our industry, our trade, and we're moving forward into sort of a world standard for our social, even our political ideas, for our business practices, and yes, for arts and cultures. And now more, if you're going to be successful on a grand scale, you can't just be a hit in your own country. You've got to really get picked up by the world market. And what you're doing with your music is something that the world is catching up to now, this futuristic sound. And you have a term for it, don't you, Don? Classical music of the future.
Yes. People have called it classitronic, classical electronic, classitronic. But I like classical music of the future, even though it actually, in truth, it's classical music of the present. What I really mean by that is that it's music done with today's technology, but influenced by the compositional style of the 18th and 19th and 20th centuries.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, that's what's happening now and looking forward. But Don, could you tell our listeners a little bit about you, just a brief background and how you got into the explorations of these magnificent sounds that you do?
Well, I always loved sound and music. I was fascinated as a child I would stand over the I would stand in the street listening to water gurgling in the sewer pipe. when a horn would honk, I'd burst out into tears because I was so sensitive to sound. So sound always fascinated me. I started building electronics when I was 7. I started programming computers back in 1968, a long time ago, and actually was involved with the Internet since 1971. I was part of the ARPANET, the original Department of Defense effort that founded the Internet. So music and electronics always went through my background. I grew up in a scientific family, was always a Bell Laboratories kid. And this is Bell Telephone Laboratories of Murray Hill, New Jersey, the research arm of what was then called Bell, you know, the Bell system before the divestiture. Mm-hmm. So I always loved music. I played piano as a child. And my father loved classical music and gave me a lot of exposure to all the great music. He loved Bach, Telemann, Mozart, Beethoven, all of that music I grew up with. Also, what's interesting in Sea of Bliss is that not only is it musical, but I use a lot of the power of mathematics, meaning that I'm doing mathematical operations on the notes. The cloud of chimes or bells that you hear in Sea of Bliss are being played in a way that I'm having the computer do variations on the notes. So there are cyclical things where it's sort of almost like if you had a bedroom with two alarm clocks that are ticking where it comes in and out of synchronization. You'll hear that in Sea of Bliss. So I grew up, as I said, with music, with electronics, and also with mathematics. And all three of those currents are mixed together in the Sea of Bliss.
Well, math and music rule the universe. And you've put them both together in a self-reflecting way that shows us the universe itself in the styles, the music that you play. And it's interesting that you draw tenets from the old world Western classical music and produce such a futuristic sound. How did you come about searching out the futuristic sound that for a while were a few decades ahead of your time until just now? How did this futurism appeal to you, Don, in the first place?
Well, I had, again, going back to 1968 in the spring, Wendy Carlos came out with Switched on Bach, and
oh, yes.
I was fascinated by that record and knew right then that would be part of my life's work. Fortunately, just only 2 years later, I was a technician at Bell Laboratories and worked in the computer music output room. And this is where I started to have my first exposure to synthesizers in 1971. In 1972, I actually moved to Hawaii, and we were the ARP synthesizer dealers there, so I taught synthesizers and just lived them for years all during the 70s. At the end of the 70s, I came back and was artist in residence at Bell Laboratories, and that's where computer music had started, and that's where computer music was developed. In that case, of course, we never said the word music. We'd always call it computer sound. And it was doing basic research in acoustics. In this case, I had, I was fortunate to have access to the tools and have the background to know what to do with it. But I was helped by a great many people that were there that were part of the community of electronic musicians. So, you know, no one does such a thing alone. I stood on the shoulders of many, many good people. So that's, you know, that's in a very briefly the story of how I came to be there at that time and place to make a particular style of music.
Well, you certainly had the tools at your hands, and you've showing us again what a beautiful juxtaposition it is to take the classics, the methods that were used from the Baroque era and ever since, and put it into sounds that are completely original. Your compositions are original, and it seems to make sense you would draw from the masters because they were always reaching out into new things, experimenting. Take Bach took the fugue to new heights. like no one ever did. Beethoven experimented with music in such a way that people were thinking, hey, you know, this Beethoven guy is getting a little funny. Have you heard those late quartets that he put out?
Indeed. And Mozart did aleatoric music. Mozart did chance music. He loved games of chance, so he did some things by rolling dice. But, of course, you know, they were working with the techniques and tools of their time. And the music I play in concert today is simply using instruments that I've worked with, using the latest instruments, but expressing melodically the feelings that come from really 18th and 19th century music, both the Baroque and the Romantic.
Well, I'm looking at your website, Don, donslepian.com. Let me spell that, Don, D-O-N, Slepian, S-L-E-A-N.com.
As we say, it's Don, yeah. And it's S as in Sam, L-E-P as in Peter, I-A-N as in Nancy, .com.
D-O-N-S-L-E-P-I-A-N.com, where right there on the homepage, there is a click to hear a piece called Sonic Perfume, which you can listen to freely right there on the homepage. Could you tell us a little bit about Sonic Perfume?
Well, back at the time that I made Sea of Bliss, the only thing really that was out there were cassettes. You know, people distributed music on cassette, and I wanted to make an LP. And at that time, an LP was... First of all, very few people had released independent LPs. This is, again, going back to 1980. And I was limited to 17 minutes. So I wanted to have a piece that represented Sea of Bliss but took place in 17 minutes. So what I did is I went to my original tracks and I created this piece, Sonic Perfume, as a derivative work from what I had done earlier, Sea of Bliss. So it was a way of sharing... which was the music at that time, you know, an LP. This is 16 and a half minutes, long enough actually that it turned out to be perfect, to give you a perfect 16 minutes of meditation. That's why I really am offering it freely to the world. It really can really change your head. If you can pause for 16 minutes and listen to this, you will emerge out in a different frame of mind.
Well, I'd like to pause for 30 seconds coming up and play it for our listeners. But as you were saying, please continue.
Yeah, I was just saying that the other part of Sonic Perfume is this notion of synesthesia, the crossing of the senses. You know, Sonic Perfume is talking about crossing perfume with sound. this thing, it's very interesting because I'm now looking to do concerts where I blend essential oils with musical performance.
Wow, now that would be something. Why not? You're blending different styles, different eras with your genres of music. And so you're actually, as if you're making a synesthesia between the senses?
Yes, yeah. and that... say, for instance, I would diffuse lavender and play lavender music.
Indeed.
But that's a whole nother program. let's go ahead and let's experience a little bit of Sonic Perfume.
From Don Slepian. Oh, my, Don. I could get lost in that. It's so meditative.
Thank you. It's actually really best on headphones. If you have a good sound system and headphones, it's wonderful to hear in a good set of headphones or through good speakers.
The stereo effects on that are marvelous, carefully engineered and put together.
Well, before talking about that, I want to mention that in the 70s, I was doing more traditional sorts of electronic music, and I met a friend of mine by the name of Tim O'Hanlon, and Tim O'Hanlon brought to my attention music by New Age artists such as Yassos. Yassos and other people were doing making music. Michael Stearns, I'm thinking of. Yassos was making music that was really quite different. It was real New Age. And Tim said, well, why don't you use, you know, the latest technology, the great instruments you have, and make music that's like this? And he pushed me stylistically in this direction. This was really my grand experiment to see, you know, can I make music that feels timeless? And now you mentioned the ambience. What's interesting is this digital synthesizer that I was working with had a two-second digital reverberator, and it was very, very crude by today's standards. It had 64 programmable taps. You know, today a modern digital reverb is very smooth. It sounds very, very, very realistic. The digital reverb I used to make Sea of Bliss or Sonic Perfume was not nearly so sophisticated. It had a very interesting characteristic, quirky sound. You're hearing all these wonderful stereo effects and cross echoes and all sorts of things there. These are what I did with that instrument and things that I love to recreate today.
It is truly dreamy. There are things that you can do with the advanced technology that you employ and with electronics that simply cannot be achieved by a musician using instruments. Case in point is a remarkable drummer for the Grateful Dead was Mickey Hart. And he created something called 360-degree productions, where he was sampling music from all around the world. One of the things that was released by that production company was electronic music, in which they were working with fractal sound. And many of our listeners know that fractals are self-repeating patterns on smaller or greater scales of size or of time. And he did that with music. And you had these self-iterating themes going on with now Bach used to do that in some of his musical themes. And when you listen to The Art of the Fugue, you would hear a melody introduced, overlaid upon itself, a time delay, and sometimes overlaid again in a diminuted scale of time and lower in note. And
right, that, actually, so the word I bring up here is recursion. And recursion, visually, it's the image of a snake swallowing its tail.
Ouroboros.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. If you have that image in mind, a recursive, it's self-referential, but it's not a literal repeat. So you do have cycles that cycle against each other, and you know, it's really interesting that you can do that with a sort of with this music and with these sort of instruments. You can explore territory that really hasn't been explored before.
You have recursion, you have different scales, you phase the music in and out a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that, Don.
Well, actually, you mentioned Mickey Hart. Remember he had a record, I guess it was the late 70s, Music from Jojuba. And this is a whole bunch of native people with oboe-like instruments trying to invoke the god Pan. The Pan, the source of panic. The music of Pan, the music of Jojuba, was all these oboe-like instruments with drums. And taking a hint from Jimi Hendrix's Electric Ladyland, he had multiple tracks flanging at multiple different rates. So you have simultaneous rising and falling filter effects, comb filters upon multiple tracks of music. And what's interesting is as the ear tries to distinguish a pitch, you get these, I guess you would call them sonic illusions. In psychoacoustics, we call them circularity effects, a pitch that seems to go up and up forever or down and down forever. Some of these things you can do not just only with pitch, but you can do with filter networks. And that's what, you know, some of what you're hearing when you talk about phasing and the changes of things. Things move around in space in a way that is physically impossible, and yet your mind has to accept it. There it is.
My goodness. And it's only with the advanced tools could we attain these new grounds musically.
The tools have been around for some time, and we have the people that are coming up today, they grew up with these tools. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no longer new or novel for them. The question is, what will they do with these things? In other words, you know, I'm expecting now that Sea of Bliss is getting a much wider audience, that people will use some of the techniques that are there and come up with new forms of music. People will take this as a starting ground and go places with it.
Now, the Sea of Bliss is available on CD, Baby?
Yes, it's at CD Baby, Amazon, all that sort of distribution. It's on Spotify, the streaming services. It's widely available, and it really consists of three different tracks: the Sea of Bliss, which is a 29-minute title track; another piece called Awakening, which is 28 minutes and is different than Sea of Bliss, but using the same tools. And then the third track is called Sonic Perfume, which you just played a little bit of. So there's three tracks, and some of the services are downloaded separately. And the album is available as an album in, you know, the places like Amazon or CD Baby.
And I believe there'll be links to that on your site at donslepian.com. If I may, Don, I'd like just a little bit of Sea of Bliss for our listeners. Would that be okay?
Yes, by all means. You could start at the beginning, but my suggestion would be to take somewhere in the middle.
All right. Let's do a few seconds from the beginning, and then we're going to jump ahead to somewhere in the middle and hear just a few sample points of this monumental work, now getting recognition after all these decades and going international, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, The Sea of Bliss by Don Slepian. I was going into samadhi.
Well, that's interesting. I had mentioned before, you know, some of the people that helped create Sea of Bliss. Mm-hmm. I mentioned my friend Tim O'Hanlon, who opened my eyes up to so many things stylistically.
Yes.
The other person I must mention is Paramahansa Yogananda.
Oh, my.
Yogananda, I had first read his autobiography of a yogi in the early 70s, and reread it many times and absorbed it then. And in 1980, completely forgetting where the phrase came from, I simply called this piece of music Sea of Bliss.
Mm.
Actually, if you read Autobiography of a Yogi, that phrase, exact phrase, Sea of Bliss, appears many times in his first poem, where he talks about the experience of samadhi. And
yes,
in several other places in the book, that exact phrase, Sea of Bliss, comes through. So that certainly unconsciously was carried over into this piece of music. And I have to laugh because really, in some sense, it is easy travel to other planets.
Yes.
That the nature of this music is transporting, that it takes you other places. And there was a time in the early... In the early 80s, it was used actually as a theme music for the National Public Radio syndicated show, Music from the Hearts of Space.
Indeed.
Music from the Hearts of Space played Sea of Bliss throughout 1983 and 1984. So it was heard by many millions of people back then. And at that time, there was no context for it. It really came quite out of left field. There was a little interest in New Age music that peaked maybe around 1986 and then completely fell away. Interestingly enough, in the last decade, this style of music's been known around the world outside of America. It's called spa music because they often hear it in spas.
Yes.
So if I play the Sea of Bliss in the rest of the world, they say, oh, look, you know, relaxation music, spa music. And what's interesting is that I've licensed this to the Shanghai Synergy Group. In other words, this is the China State Music Agency. They've licensed Sea of Bliss, and they're going to be using it and distributing it throughout China. So the first commercial interest in Sea of Bliss comes not from America or Europe. It comes from China.
We are becoming, the world is flat. We're becoming more of an international world. You were ahead of your time, and now the world is catching up to you. We've read some of the venues that you played all around the world, in Thailand, in Hawaii, New York's Lincoln Center, and in Paris, France. And you've played other venues around the world, have you not, Don?
You use the physical metaphor, you speak of the world being flat. To me, it's not really flat, it's more bumpy. It's got pits and valleys. It's more interesting than flat.
Yes.
In other words, places around China is a very, very different place than America or Europe, and Korea and Japan are totally different than China. Just as Scandinavia is different than the UK and different than Italy. All these places on Earth have still retained their strong character, national characteristics. And that's what makes the world still interesting. It's not that the world's becoming homogenized, it's just that we're able to share more easily with each other. So you can travel the world, you can be different people, different things in different places.
And yours has a universal appeal to all cultures everywhere without being steeped in a particular genre of flavor, an ethnicity. It seems that wherever anyone is coming from, there are underlying universal principles that we can appreciate in music. You know, there is a wonderful line from Crosby, Stills, and Nash in one of their songs, which is that we all dream in the same language. And there are some sounds that are universal to us all, and I think you've reached that in your music.
Well, I appreciate that. I would say it's almost true, but not quite. And for this reason, the music, a piece such as Sea of Bliss, is instrumental. And since it's instrumental, it is freed from the constraints of language or linguistic constructs. You know, that's beautiful. But if you listen to Sea of Bliss, you can hear very quickly that it's grounded in Western classical music.
You're not using microtones as much, for instance?
A lot of it is just intonation. You know, there's a lot of the arpeggiation and so on that I'm using in not well-tempered scale, but just scales.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is there are places around the world, such as Indonesia, China, elsewhere, where they really grew up with scales and modes of music that are really outside the Western scale. For instance,
yes.
The Indian ragas, for example.
Yes.
So the music, though it's instrumental, it can be heard around the world, it's appreciated by people that really have loved the music of Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, that sort of thing, the Western harmonies, that style. This is an extension. It comes out of a particular... this is not German music, it's not one nationality, but it does come from Western classical tradition.
And you use the keyboard a lot in making your sounds, do you not, Don?
Well, There were actually several keyboards as I played Sea of Bliss. You know, the long sustained drone sounds, long sustained chords come from one keyboard, my left hand. My right hand was controlling this was a type of sequence in which I was had a bunch of notes I'd put into the computer, and I was doing what we call permutations. I was doing variations on a group of notes. So, for instance, let's see, if I had 12 notes, I'd play a note, skip three notes, play a note, skip five notes, play a note, play three notes. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, by doing mathematical variations, I'd come up with a unique melody, and I could touch a control and change those laws. So if you listen to the little bell chimes there, that's how they're varying. That's how they come, you know, with such interesting melodic variations. I could also play it backwards in an instant, or play it one-third speed, or play it with dotted rhythm. I could change the rhythm. I could transpose them. All these devices, these melodic devices you hear going on in real time, you know, it's important to understand that a piece like Sea of Bliss was done only in two passes, you know, meaning that I only had a four-track, and, you know, this is not layers and layers of sound. This is just like a two-time performance. So I hope this makes some sense to people. I could certainly write more about it or share the actual algorithms I used.
Well, you had to conceptualize a lot more to do a four-track recording than sometimes that are done. But that gives you more of the creative process. I mean, there are talents today that are producing popular music that are not really coming out with a lot of talent on the radio because they're relying on electronic percussion tracks, and they're allowing the tools to drive the music rather than using the tools to manifest the concepts that they had to begin with. And so it's allowing for a widespread mediocrity where people were finding it easier to do some things. It's kind of like painting a house. Anybody can paint a house, but not everyone can paint well. I've actually worked with painters who are masters, who could marbleize wood, and you'd have to actually try to convince people that that wooden door frame is not made of marble. It's painted that way. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Because it was done by
the Victorian notion of fooling the eye, trompe l'oeil. You know,
well,
fooling the eye to think it's something else. It's, you know, people take a delight in that. And I would have to interject here and say that a wonderful thing for listening to music is YouTube.
Yep.
Because, you know, rather than being content with what's played on the radio, there still is some good music on the radio, but it's hard to find. Yeah. But if you go through YouTube, you can find wonderful musicians that no one's ever heard of them, and they're releasing their original music there, you know, as something that the public will find, people will discover it. There's never been a time where there's been more music available, and what we need are people who are editors. You know, there's so much there. We need people to guide us to the best. What are the best musicians? What's the best in all these different genres?
Well, people have heard of you, Don, and you do concerts locally. Now, you live in the mountains of Pennsylvania, but you do shows in New York City, do you not?
Yes, I do. I do shows in the New York area, and also I've done webcasts, and that's where I'll play on the internet, and people are able to tune in. You know, typically they'll put it on their home theater, and they're able to interact live as I play. You know, we'll typically have a chat window. They'll be able to talk to me, and we talk back and forth and, you know, enjoy the music live.
Now, how can people find out more about the webcasts that you do and how to contact you? I know that Don Slepian is your main site. I believe you'll be noting the webcasts there. Is that where you would like people to go to find out more and to contact you?
No, that will be where I'll notate it, and then hopefully, you know, if Sea of Bliss and other things like this find a wider audience, there'll be other places where they'll be able to, you know, look this up. But for right now, donslepian.com, that's D-O-N, S as in Sam, L-E-P as in Peter, I-A-N as in Nancy, .com, is a place where you can drop me an email. and you could take a look, and I'll be sure to announce things. And I really appreciate your help with the website, David. That's wonderful. I have these little magical web elves who are helping me create a new web presence.
Yes, thewebelves.com does website design and development and videography, and we've certainly contributed to Don Slepian as a labor of love, because we're big fans of Don and have been for a long time. So I have two final questions here for the evening, the last one of which is going to be, what would be your closing message to our listeners? But before that final question, I would like to ask, what inspires you to do some of these works that you do? I mean, you, in some ways, you kind of remind me of Gustav Holst, who wrote this magnificent symphony called The Planets, where he was actually characterizing each one of the planets with the different movements of the symphony. And when I hear these sounds that you do, I mean, I feel like everything great and small is sort of got these connecting threads coming to me through sound. I don't know. That's one interpretation. Your music is so rich. Everyone can have theirs. What are the kind of things that inspire you for these original works that you're producing?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is, as I play now, I'm interested in expanding the possibilities for a soloist. You know, I play it as a solo concert instrument. I play a digital keyboard that I've designed and worked on that consists of me able to mix with my feet the sound of many instruments. So one thing that inspires me is expanding possibilities for a soloist, and of course sharing that with other, you know, with talented young people, with the people that are coming up now. I would love to be able to influence and give them new possibilities where they could play just like people play folk music. They could just play themselves as a soloist and have all the sounds of the orchestra and then some.
Wow.
Another thing that inspires me is the different uses people have put this music to. Sea of Bliss was played in maternity wards, and it was used for pain relief. There have been babies that were born to Sea of Bliss, which is a funny thing, but that's true.
Wow.
You know, people listened to Sea of Bliss while giving birth and found that they need less medication. They, you know, it's easier. Sea of Bliss has also been used in hospices. Again, is a form of sonic pain relief and a way to take you to other beautiful spaces. So it's been used for people coming in and out of this world. It's really not, you know, the intention is not for a sonic soporific, meaning that it's more an exercise in sonic mindfulness. What I'm meaning by that is if you have good headphones, you can give Sea of Bliss the closest possible listening and have, you know, with your left brain and with your analytical powers, you can listen and really enjoy all that's going on. And yet at the same time, you could put it on softly on your car radio, and when the traffic slows down, you can relax instead of getting all tensed up in a traffic jam. I have to laugh. Music to do your taxes with? Who knows? Music is many different things for many different people. And ultimately, as a composer, I want to be useful. You know, in other words, I want to do things that are generally useful in the world, not going beyond just entertainment, going to inspiration, to inspire people to be more centered, more grounded, more awake, more aware. That would really, really do wonders, I think, in the world. It would be a great contribution.
All those things and more, because just as life has many layers, many levels and intricacies that can be taken at any depth of one's choosing, so it is. It's all there in your music. You can listen to it intently, go analytical, find the details and the intricacies, or you can just sit back and enjoy it too, because it is all, it works in every level.
It can work in every level.
Yes.
And I found also that the children have often used, when they're 3 or 4, they've used Sea of Bliss as a wonderful way to fall asleep. For instance, the 16-minute piece Sonic Perfume has been used for putting young children to sleep to great effect.
My goodness. Well, Don, I'd like to play just a little bit of Awakening and then come back for our closing comments. May I do that now?
Please. Yes, by all means.
Okay. If you want a little more of this, find out more at donslepian.com. Don, this has certainly been enjoyable to see behind the curtain in the creation of these sounds, and it's almost painful to stop them as we go on with the show. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the rest of that.
you will sit back and relax and enjoy all of it, and it's a wonderful thing. Some CD mechanisms have the ability to repeat the album.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who, I think for 2.5 years, he had Sea of Bliss on repeat.
Yes. Oh, my.
that's a lot, but, you know, of course he had it in the background, but that was the sonic environment for a little over 2 years in the early 80s.
I think it would have the combined effect of doing mantra and yoga at the same time.
Oh, indeed. He was actually doing electronic design and found it good for concentration. It is wonderful to share this. I'm looking for opportunities to perform. People can contact me at my email, don.slepian@gmail.com. I'm happy to hear from people. I'd love to hear feedback as people hear this music. I want to thank shows like One World Music over in the UK who have been really boosting this and bringing this to a European audience. That's wonderful. I have high hopes of traveling through China in the near future to be able, again, to bring this sort of classical music of the future to audiences around the world where I can perform it and meet with people and inspire the people that are coming up now, the young musicians who are really looking to learn this craft. I would love to be able to teach and to show these techniques and have all these people say, wow, you know, these tools, this technique, this sound, these styles, they belong to everyone. They belong to all of us. So that's really what I'm here to give.
And give it you do, and it is such a joy and a treat for our ears. Don Slepian, thank you so much for sharing insights into your music and the deposit you've made to the spirit of humankind through sound. For our listeners who just
tuned in. Thank you so
much, David.
Thank you. I appreciate the audience.
You bet. And please give your website again one more time as we're signing off here, Don.
Yes, it's donslepian.com. That's D-O-N, S as in Sam, L-E-P as in Peter, I-A-N as in Nancy, .com. Donslepian.com is where you can find me, contact me. I have a number of music videos on YouTube. If you search on my name in YouTube or Google, you'll find all sorts of things out there. Things for free, and then I will be doing webcasts where people can interact with me live. Again, thank you so much.
I'm sure folks are going to be checking in to find out when those webcasts are, when your next performances are, or if you want to sponsor a concert with Don Slepian, contact him there. And to close here on the Cycles of Change radio program, we're going to go out with a few sounds from the Sea of Bliss by Don Slepian. Good night, all. the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, David Katzmeier. Thank you for listening.